This is Ask Stephen, a broadcast ministry of Sovereign Grace Assembly in Versailles, Indiana. I'm Elder Stephen Mullins, the preaching elder with Sovereign Grace, and you're watching Ask Stephen. This is now the third episode of this series, and this is a question that my wife posed. The question is, can you sin and still make it to heaven? Can you sin and still make it to heaven? That is an excellent question. It's not one that's all that easy to answer, because you have to package a lot into your answer. The short answer is that every one of us are fallen creatures. There's not a one of us, whether saved or unsaved, that does not struggle against the sinful nature. So, how would we answer that? There's a great resource, and I would highly encourage that you purchase it and add it to your home library. It's a little book titled, Am I Really a Christian? It's written by Mike McKinley. It's produced by Nine Marks. It answers this question and it answers a number of other questions. As we search our own hearts, as we ask the Spirit to speak to us, to reveal sin in our lives, as He does His sanctifying work within us. So the short answer is, yes, you can sin, but you can't enjoy sin. If you enjoy sin, then you clearly don't enjoy the Savior. The reality is, you're going to mess up in this life. And we're going to get into Romans 7. Now, Paul's struggle against a sinful nature. We're going to look at 1 John here. At the one who is born of God. Do you and me, as regenerate persons, miss the mark from time to time? Do we transgress God's law daily? Yes. Do we enjoy sin? No. Let's look at 1 John 2:28. And we will read through 3:23. John, 1 John is written by the Apostle John, one of the Lord's disciples. John is the only one who did not die a martyr's death. He was, in the latter days of his life, exiled to Patmos, where he famously wrote the book of the Revelation. 1 John is a, whatever else it is, it's a commentary on John's gospel. So we have here in 1 John, the key word in this text is the word fellowship. The key word in John's first letter is the word fellowship. And in here, we're going to see that God is love and God is light. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If we know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Know what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who is of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. All right, so when we read 1 John, we're going to see the words little children pop up over and over and over again. But I want you to be aware that just because you see the words little children pop up over and over again does not mean that little children is referring to the same people every time. There are two different words that John uses throughout this letter that both translate little children. We see sections in which John addresses little children, fathers, and young men. And then we see sections where he just addresses little children. Context is king. Context is king. Context is key. When John is referring to those three different groups, little children, fathers, and the young men, the little children in that context is the Greek word paideia, referring to someone who is immature in the faith, a new believer. When he addresses those little children without the other markers noting different groups within this body of Christ, it is the Greek word technia. Technia is the word that John chooses to use to address all of those whom he has personally nurtured in the faith. He has personally nurtured the paideia, the little children, the new believers. He has personally nurtured the fathers, and he has personally nurtured the young men. He has personally nurtured all those to whom he writes. And so when John says in verse 28 of chapter 2, and now little children, and now technia, he is speaking to the entirety of the group. And now technia, abide in him, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now the next thing I want you to see is not only that word technia, translated little children, that John is writing to all of those, is speaking to all of those here of whom he is personally nurtured in the faith. But I want you to see that verses 28 and 29 of chapter 2 is a bridge linking 3:1 through 23 back to that which has previously been said. Remember, no verse of Scripture, no passage of Scripture stands on its own. You must interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. So verses 28 and 29 are a bridge. So when he says, everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Think about that. If the Spirit has worked in you, if the Spirit has brought you to a point of repentance and confession and faith, then you are born of God. If the Spirit hasn't brought you to a point of repentance and confession, then simply put, you're not born again. You are not born of God. You are unregenerate. You are lost. Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Why is that? Because we who are regenerate, we who are born of God, are those who have come to Jesus in confession and repentance. We come to him in repentance, turning from our sin. We come to him in faith, acknowledging Jesus as Lord, surrendering to his kingship and to his lordship. Skip down with me for the sake of time to verse 9. John writes, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. What does that mean? You know, many of the newer translations do this verse, do this entire letter an injustice when they insert a word that is not there in the Greek. Many of the newer translations, there in verse 9 and throughout chapter 3 and throughout the entirety of this letter, insert the little word practice. They insert that. It's not translation, though. It's commentary. When they insert it, essentially what they're saying is, whosoever is born of God doth not practice sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot practice sin because he is born of God. But that's not what the text says. The text says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. So what's John talking about? Is John talking about a perfection that you and me reach this side of eternity? No. Is John stating that if you are truly regenerate, you're never going to sin again? No. John is distinguishing here in verse 9 and 10, because what does he say in verse 10? In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doth not righteousness, is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. John is distinguishing those who are regenerate from those who are unregenerate. John is distinguishing the new man from the old man. The new man is that which is in you that the Spirit has raised from death to life. Turn back with me to Romans 7. Romans 7, picking up in the 7th verse. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. We know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. For what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. In 1 John, 3:9, when John speaks and says, whosoever has been born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot keep, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. He is talking about the new man. He's not talking about the flesh. He's talking about the same war, the same struggle that Paul's talking about there in the 7th chapter of Romans. How did Paul end that? So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Both John and Paul are saying the same thing. You and me have a flesh nature that is going to continue struggling against the new man. We have a new man that's going to continue struggling against the fleshly nature as long as you and me are on this side of eternity. So can you sin and still make it to heaven? Yes, there's going to be those times that your flesh will win the battle. Your flesh may win some battles, but your flesh will not win the war. You will miss the mark daily. You will fail your Lord daily. But you will not, if you are regenerate, if the Spirit has wrought a work in you, leading you to repentance and confession and faith, you will not enjoy that sin. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace. We thank you that it is your goodness that leads us to repentance. Lord, we pray that you would put our fleshly natures in check. That you would renew our minds through your word. That you would sanctify us by your truth. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Beloved, until next time, go and serve your King.